Welcome to Stunt Granny Audio number 288. With me this week, Chris Calamita. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing good, Kevin. How about yourself there?
Well, you heard the little bump there. I'm also planning a future review here of the pay-per-view at the current moment, Fastlane, with another co-conspirator in the Stunt Granny crew. So, yeah, that if there's a beep or two that's had on my end, please excuse that. It's future planning. Actually, I should just mute Facebook.
Well, that's very exciting. I can't wait to see what these plans are.
Yeah, but as I said barely before we came on here, I like to start oldest to newest, and we talked a little bit about NXT the last time we were on the show together, and NXT had their takeover in the meantime, and Stunt Granny hasn't really talked about it all that much. You did a little review that was non-spoiler-ish, thank you very much.
No problem. You're very welcome. I did it with folks like you in mind.
Well, I really should have gotten around. It was funny. I watched almost the entire event, but then I got interrupted right as the women's, the Divas match finished, so I didn't see that. So I had to rewind and then just watch the main event today. So the main event is certainly fresh in my noggin.
Well, that's a good thing because I haven't seen it since last Wednesday. So. but not that unlike most main events on Raw or SmackDown these days, this is one main event that has stuck with me, and I do have strong memories of it.
Yeah. It was certainly interesting because I did see their last match in ROH together. And it was interesting how different the match was from company to company. There are always similarities. Because I think Triple H, he didn't really make this point, but it was somewhat implied when he was talking about the NXT people that the WWE method doesn't always completely squash the former style that the person's known for.
No, not at all, and especially in NXT and what they've got down there. Now they were able to be themselves. I mean, they weren't able to go, and for their own benefit, they weren't able to go as far as any of their you know, Ring of Honor matches, you know, thankfully. So they were able to have a wrestling match without weapons that would told a story.
Yeah, and it's a story that I'm still getting used to. They have certainly made a few comments on Raw of the nature of the referee calling for the bell. And I'll tell you what, I'm still getting used to it.
Right, yeah. It's still different. They bust it out maybe a couple times a year as a finish. It's never been something that they've completely the audience used to. You know, you do that, in fact, if you did do a finish like that in front of a larger crowd, less, you know, internet fan crowd, I think that you you run the risk of it getting pretty ugly. So, but.
Well, that's kind of the funny thing too, though, is that it is an internet crowd, but it's kind of sliding. I don't know if it slid or not, just because I didn't look at reviews because I didn't immediately watch it. I didn't look around it too much, and it's to me it wasn't a problem just because it was a very definitive victory.
Yeah, it was. It was not a disqualification due to kicking due to kicking too much ass. It was the guy who was vicious and brutal was declared the winner.
Right, so I don't think it's bad. It was just kind of odd. I mean, I watch enough UFC that I've seen stuff like that, but I'm just still not used to it for the WWE, and that's its only problem, I guess, in my opinion.
Right, but no, other than, you know, having to kind of get used to the finish, no, I really like what they did a lot. I mean, they didn't throw everything in, you know, everything, including the kitchen sink, you know, in. They're saving the kitchen sink for later, and, you know, this is a storytelling match, it was not meant to be a five-star classic, and I like it because of it.
Right, yeah, because I'm trying to think of how much time they really had, because they only had about 15 minutes or so, I felt like, which is a good match. I'd have to check to be completely sure. But I feel like it started around about a quarter till and ended pretty close to the 2 hour mark. But it was a good match. Like, I really enjoyed it. Like you said, they did enough hype beforehand that you could figure out, even if you hadn't watched before that, you could really get the whole story. Of them seeing some of those pictures of them younger was pretty interesting.
Yeah, it definitely was. Yeah, they definitely, you know, were able to tell their story without mentioning the names of any other promotions, mentioning their former names. Yeah, it was really good what they did. I mean, most of the audience knows or at least trusts. The NXT storytelling, that, okay, they're telling us, even if they don't, they're not that familiar with the two, they're saying, okay, you're telling us these two have a history, okay, we believe that, oh, and here are these pictures that show them together when they're younger, okay, I understand this now, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a very easy story to understand, a very easy story to get into.
Yeah, it was a very hookable story to tell, I guess. Like, you could keep people's interest with that, and you could keep it, I don't know, that's one of those matches, though, that it's kind of like the Brock Lesnar-John Cena match. It's just like, that guy just took such an ass-kicking, why do I think that he should, why do I think he can win in a rematch?
It wasn't quite... The announcers did exactly what they were going for, but I mean, Sami Zayn got, you know, too much offense, and to me, to think that, you know, it was that a complete destruction, and he did beat himself with the moonsault to the floor and bashing his head on the ramp.
Oh,
so you can sell the story that, you know, Kevin Owens got in his head. He made a mistake. He screwed up. He beat himself. He can come back. He can come back from this pretty easily. But now, unlike what they did with John Cena, where he was back the next week, you know, quote unquote spoiler alert, Sami Zayn was not on. They taped, you know, 4 weeks of TV the night after, and Sami Zayn is not on any of the shows. He actually was on the now infamous WWE tour of Abu Dhabi.
Oh,
instead. He will not be on any NXT episodes for the next 4 weeks.
Well, it paid off for Darren Young. He got a spot back on the WWE roster. I suppose being a squeaky wheel can do you some good.
I guess so. That was a good career move for him.
but I'm trying to think. Yeah, that match was really good. I've got to admit, I'm still not creeped out by Finn Balor's entrances. I enjoy the creativity, the difference of his entrance compared to other people. But I wouldn't say the adjectives that the announcers are using are the correct ones.
I agree with that. I think that it's not really a creepy mind game on his opponent, other than instead of just something that just looks flashy.
Right. Yeah, it's not dark just because he has paint on and he kind of looks like a witch doctor when he's doing it.
Right. But no, I mean, I think the look absolutely it works for him. I think that when he gets to the main roster, I know there's people who think that, the paint and the whole entrance should be just a special event thing. I think that it should be his. I think that the paint and his and the entrance should be his every week thing on TV. And then when it comes to pay-per-view, in particular WrestleMania, you just make it more and more extravagant with just about unlimited, production budget to just, let your imagination run wild.
Yeah, he could have a pretty interesting WrestleMania entrance. It's not going to happen this year, but
Right now,
he
but I think in the I think for the future, I mean, thing is, he's got it all, but when he's just him, he's kind of just tall enough, just muscular, just fit enough.
That's the thing, and I mean, I feel like I talked about this when I kind of watched the week previous. A lot of their guys are pretty small because I said something to Jeremy this week, and I looked to see how much taller Bellor was as to Hideo Itami, and I'm like, oh shit, there was only an inch difference. He's like 5'11", I believe. I was like, oh, he's not that big. Like, it helps to be at least at that 6 foot mark, 6'1". Because
Right,
I
yeah,
mean, they
so
still consider Dolph Ziggler a small guy who's like 6'1" or 6'2". You
Right,
know.
yeah, so I think that think that the paint and just a general cool entrance will help him greatly on Raw. Because without it, he's just an Irishman name whose real name is Fergal. So it's like, he needs a little something extra. He does need a little something extra in his presentation, because otherwise he's got it all.
Yeah, I really have enjoyed watching both of his matches. Adrian Neville, oh well, and then that was the other thing is that I was looking at Adrian Neville's height just because I knew that he was vertically challenged also.
Right, he definitely is. It's gonna be an uphill battle for him.
Yeah, I haven't re I can't say that I really got to see Neville wrestle all that much because the previous week in the other semifinal match that he was involved in, Baron Corbin got pushed into the post by Bull Dempsey. So he didn't really have a match. So I mean, this match against Bellor was really the first time I've seen him wrestle a full match.
Yeah, I mean, he's very good, great on his best day against the right opponent. Very short. He's got it's, it's I know this kind of take us down a little bit, but he's got that Benoit Guerrero thing where he's got muscle on top of muscle on a frame that really is definitely not meant to carry all of that.
Yeah, he's pretty big for his height.
Yeah, but obviously, I'm sure he thinks that's necessary, and depending on how you look at it, fortunately, unfortunately, That is important, but he still got a very, 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 very thick, I don't know if we would call him, you know, British accent when he speaks.
Oh, yes, very much.
That's gonna be death for him on the main roster.
Yeah, and he doesn't have the best looks. Like, I do think that without the paint, Finn Balor is, I'm going to go there, an attractive gentleman. So I think he could not fill Roman Reigns' spot, but I think that he could get that coveted girls clamoring for him spot. I'm not so sure that Adrian Neville is going to be able to pull that off.
No. And you definitely made a good point, and you know, kind of point to what I said, that maybe he doesn't necessarily need the paint all the time. But I still think it would help. But yeah, Adrian Neville, not a good looking man. just to put it bluntly. Yes, that's me. Yes, I'm saying that. Yes, you can see my picture on the internet. Play and play. So yeah. But in this world, that does matter. And if you combine his lack of ability to, you know, speak well enough to their standards, with that look, it's an uphill battle for him. Maybe a mask would help.
Oh.
Like a mask flyer, you know, would help.
Yeah, I don't know if they need to go beyond their two currents that they have in Sin Cara and is it Kalisto?
Kalisto, yes.
Okay. So, yeah, I don't see a mask gimmick going his way also. But I don't know. It's I like I said, I do enjoy him as a wrestler. So I feel, I mean, I'm just worried about a lot of these guys just because they're all size challenged. And the two guys that aren't size challenged, oh boy, that Baron Corbin Bull Dempsey match was by far the worst on the takeover.
Yeah, I mean, actually, you know what? It wasn't pretty, and they're both so far, and it looks like they're probably giving up on Bull altogether and just going to put all their eggs as for the new monster in Corbin's, you know, basket. But I thought the tag title match was worse for just blown spots everywhere, the whole thing. No one was on the same page. I mean, they get credit. I mean, I do realize that this is a developmental show, so I'm more forgiving of, like, all of it, especially in those types of matches that weren't with the, you know, previous, you know, indie international darlings at all.
Oh, okay. And I was just trying to recall who exactly was in this match, because it was, to me, it was forgettable.
Yeah.
Whoever those two guys are that are the new champions.
Blake and Murphy.
Yeah, Blake and Murphy. Like, there was nothing wrong with them, per se.
Right.
But
right.
There was nothing right with them either.
Yeah, I mean, there were two green American wrestlers going through the WWE system who were thrown in there with the two Lucha guys. So it's just like, it was a bad idea from the start, so I don't want to rag on them too much.
Yeah, I guess that's why I didn't think that one was bad. It just kind of seemed like they were there to kind of break up the masked men and move things along. So, you know, they just didn't put too much time. The women's match, I guess, is really the last one that I feel like going. Yeah, because the Itami match, it was good, but there really wasn't much of consequence going on there.
It was was just a good, you know, fast paced opener to set the tone for the rest of the show.
Yeah. So Sasha Banks ends up becoming the boss of the NXT Divas division. Again, just because I don't know the whole backstory on this, I feel like I'm missing something. As far as her triumph for, like, all four of these ladies vying for the belt. Like, I feel like I'm still missing backstory, even though I've seen some of it.
Yeah, it's been kind of a long time. Well, the last year since the network launched and NXT has been, you know, featured on it. She's really grown. She's arguably the best performer. Charlotte has probably the most intangibles that you would consider for potential to be, you know, a franchise star, but I think as of right now, Sasha Banks is the better all around performer, and you know, the best all around. I'll go over however to say it, the best all around performer of any female that I watch regularly in wrestling.
Gotcha. That's some impressive words. I haven't really seen her promo work, so I don't really I don't know how to respond to that one other than saying that I still quite enjoy Paige by a large bit. Yeah, like I said, I don't really know her body of work, so she could be better. It's hard to tell in these four-way matches how good someone is. Like, they did a good job of shifting people around and, you know, no one getting the spotlight too much. I mean, even Charlotte took always term an edge coffee break and took, you know, a couple of minutes out of the match so that the other divas could fight amongst themselves.
Yeah. This was not her best night, and I think it was by design. I think that she and they wanted the other girls to shine because I imagine Charlotte is a month, 2 months at the most away from going to the main roster, especially now that she's dropped the belt, of course. So, you know, it was about, you know, establishing the other three as the tops of this division going forward. So they all got, you know, they all got their moments to shine. I mean, Becky Lynch, I didn't really think much of her until this, but you know, she showed some stuff. Bayley, who her whole character has been, you know, the nice girl who's been too afraid to, you know, really, really fight back, and then she finally, you know, grew up and, you know, and showed some toughness, and then Sasha, you know, becoming the new queen bee, so to speak.
Yeah, so, but I mean, it was a good match. Like, it was a good four-way match. But I guess, you know, to see her, and again, just with your judgment in mind, like, to know how good of a wrestler Sasha is, like, it was very smart of her to take advantage of the top rope. I do find it charming that she does a Bayley to belly suplex as her finisher.
Yes, her finishing moves involves her hugging her opponent. That is brilliant. What the character is, and you'll see it as you watch the show from week to week, you know, from now on. But yeah, for what her character is, it was pretty brilliant that that is her finishing
move. I just really kind of I haven't seen that much of that character, but she's really caught my eye in this whole thing. Maybe it's just because she kind of has this weird kind of girly look to her.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, she's got an innocent cuteness that you can absolutely market to young girls. And she could really be something. And as long as, obviously Triple H is in her corner, but, you know, once he's on the main roster and it's Vince McMahon and it's, you know, Kevin Dunn, it's like, oh God, oh, please get this, please get this.
Well, I mean, I think that that was implied with, the male wrestlers too. Like, it, to me, it seems like they're on two different tracks. Like, it was kind of funny when I saw the one meme after Triple H's interview that it was, everything that's wrong with the WWE is Vince's fault and everything that's right with NXT is my doing. And honestly, like, watching the two shows, I just go, okay, like, I'm not really disagreeing with his assessment. Like, I know that he didn't actually say that.
Right.
But there's just, he wouldn't be looking, to me, he wouldn't be looking at guys that small if he didn't enjoy their work.
Right. I mean, he's... And this is where, you know, Vince McMahon, 70 years, nearly 70 years old, on the cover of Muscle and Fitness magazine, trying to prove to the world that he's not dead yet, is gonna be an interesting battle, you know.
Yeah, for I think the Divas, you know, because I remember, I didn't know that Ratchet was a thing. Like, I had no idea that it was that kind of a thing until Sasha Banks started using it. I am one of the least hit people and up on the lingo that... I'm definitely not with the cool kids. So, it... You know, if I'm not getting it, I'm not sure that a 70-year-old is going to be grasping onto that any better than I am. At least I might be able to wrap my head around it after kind of getting an introduction to it. But I just don't see it coming to Vince McMahon.
No. You've got a point there. And, well, we will see what happens as, you know, Triple H gains power. I mean, obviously, he was not able to fight Vince on Charlotte's lone Raw appearance where she jobbed at Natalya in 3 minutes, so hopefully as these girls and guys come up, you know, he will be able to protect them somewhat.
Yeah, because...
Triple H, the savior of the next generation of wrestling.
Well, you know, it's just kind of interesting. I'm just thinking back on some of the NXT guys that have come up, and it just seems like a lot of their gimmicks have floated like lead balloons in the WWE. I think Emma was... starting to gain some traction until she decided to steal some stuff from Walmart.
Right, yeah.
But Adam Rose, his not exactly fared well. But of course, you can also point, and I don't know if the Shield was in NXT, per se.
As the entire act of the Shield, no, that they were given that pretty much, you know, that day, basically, of their debut. Yeah, so I'm trying to think. Like, I don't know if they're Paige to an extent, but otherwise,
well, yeah. You know what?
Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt is probably the biggest success of the entire NXT system.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue with that because I feel like Paige's character is already being adjusted. Some here, especially recently, they couldn't decide what they wanted to do with her, but now that they have her going up against the Bellas, they are certainly making her more of a baby face instead of the crazy person that was fighting the other crazy person.
Right, yeah. I hated that story. I think Paige proved that you do need. Yes, she got up. huge reaction the night after WrestleMania in a crowd filled with Europeans and people who are, you know, were familiar with NXT even dating back to before it was on the WWE network, but the majority of the audience was not, and they didn't do it much to, you know, tell you who she was, so I don't think her initial title reign was, you know, what it could have been. So I think they do need to make sure that, you know, as nice as that post night after WrestleMania pop is, it's not to be all and end all of everything. So I hope that, you know, from here on in, you know, they do, you know, set up, you know, these big moments for these NXT people.
Oh yeah, and I was trying to think of some other bad examples, and well, you did tell me that the Ascension is more of a product of the WWE than the even more genericness that they were in NXT.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about the Ascension.
Well, I'm just trying to think of, let's go with the big topics from Raw then, just because we were kind of talking about the differences in the shows, and I think that we've about tapped the NXT network out.
Yeah, when we start talking about the Ascension, it's over.
But Jeremy and I were both gleeful that the WWE decided to start making a smarmy Daniel Bryan who was very patronizing towards Roman Reigns. And I enjoyed quite a bit of Roman Reigns doing, as I termed it earlier to Jeremy today, the athlete speech, where he's being perfectly vague, but you understand by the tone and the manner in which he's saying it that he means something different.
Right, yeah. I mean, we're going to talk about, you know, his promo backstage with Byron Saxton.
Right.
I mean, the key line was him talking about how if he had been eliminated from the Royal Rumble, he would have taken it like a man. He would take it like a man, and go away quietly. Which then leads to, you know, could very well lead to Sunday. And what happens if he loses? Because, you know, there's three potential, you know, possibilities here. There's the, you know, Brian one-on-one, there's Reigns one-on-one, and there's the triple threat possibility.
Right.
And the triple threat possibility can be born out of Brian beating Reigns, but then Reigns saying, because they've already established, they can't legally take him out of this match. He has to step down. He could then, you know, jump attack Brian and say that, you know, he's not giving up the title shot after all. he's a total hypocrite at that point, if they want to go that direction.
Right, which would be really funny. I'm generally like, I feel like they can tell a good story from any three of those point of views, whether it's the triple threat or just a one-on-one match, because you know, you got the young, strong guy who's kind of the next in line of Brock Lesnar's, or little guy versus the big unbeatable giant. So we got some David and Goliath going. So there is a lot of potential in whichever route they go. So it'll be interesting to see what they do on Sunday.
I don't know what's going to happen. I don't want to know before it does. I thought the brawl was the brawl was absolutely tremendous. It gave me very, very high hopes for a great match on Sunday. You know, the match that certainly Roman Reigns needs to have. Win or lose.
Right.
if you know, once again, is that, you know, if you can't have a, if you can't have a, if you can't have a great match in the main event against Bryan, it's not having a great match in the main event against anybody.
Oh man, yeah, that's kind of the funny thing. Like, I think that's one of the areas that Reigns doesn't need as much help in, is in the ring. Like, he probably could use some help in the psychology department. But as far as him utilizing his physical skills, I don't think he has any problem with that at the current moment.
Right, no. I expect an excellent match. Thing that really, I guess I picked up on something. I'm not sure how many other people did. You know, we're talking about the possibilities of what could come out of this, and you know, the triple threat possibility. But JBL, who it's been said is kind of, you know, the guy who Vince most filters his points, his main points through, did say only one of them can go to WrestleMania to face Brock Lesnar. So so that's kind of maybe veering.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Again, you have good stories to tell, because Bryan can still complain about not getting a rematch, even if he loses this one. So, I mean, he's still got some something for him. Reigns losing, it would be kind of interesting, just because he hasn't really lost up to this point in his singles career. He's kind of been mowing through people. So, him and how he bounces back is kind of interesting. You know, someone could taunt him, which would be great. About not getting the job done against Daniel Bryan.
I could already see that role going to Seth Rollins. Talking about how Reigns show a big one, because if it's Bryan versus Lesnar at WrestleMania, I think that where I would go is the Reigns Rollins Ambrose triple threat match.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, that could work out. Seth Rollins certainly seems like he's still just kind of out there. He's not going to be taking on Dolph Ziggler for the I don't know how manyth time at WrestleMania.
Don't think that. I mean, they're doing the match on SmackDown, and then I think that's going to lead to at least some form of I think it'll be a six-man, either with J&J Security or with Kane and Big Show teaming with Rollins.
Oh, yeah, because you can't have Rollins, because that's the one thing, like, in that little triumvirate there, Ziggler really isn't going anywhere. Like, he is where he is at this point.
Yeah.
He's a high-class jobber who maybe might get another pity reign with the title.
Not anything bigger than that.
Might, yeah. And Ryback's, like, Rowan's a jobber already. So, Ryback is just, he's kind of in another holding pattern. We're like, well, we can't do anything big with you this year. And Rollins can't really have a match with him either, because I don't think you really want either of them losing. And I'm tired of Rollins being in a match where he, he needs to win a match, I guess. And instead of, because I feel like he's gotten disqualified, or the the feuds he's been in so far haven't completely finished. Because the Dean Ambrose one didn't really ever finish, in my opinion.
Right, no, it didn't. That is ripe to go back to. I mean, just the whole story of the Shield. I think that it should come to a head at WrestleMania if Reigns isn't going to be in the title match.
That would be pretty cool. I mean, that's definitely a way for them to go. Like I said, I think that they have plenty of potential any way that things go, which is a nice place to be in. It's it's cracked me up that for the second straight year now, the WWE has been straightened out by the fans at the City of the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, it definitely has. I mean,
that's you know, maybe people didn't write the angles that the way that they are, although I do feel like they're listening to Stunt Granny all over again. That we have a mole back in the WWE, bitches.
Hi, Howard.
The Duck. His last name is The Duck. I guess I'm trying to figure out. That was just good build up. Period. End of sentence.
Yeah, it was very good. It was, you know, the best thing on Raw in weeks, basically. And it was very effective. Once again, you know, in the entirety, it was once again that one of those shows that would have probably made for a very good to even great 2-hour show.
You know, I just know that it's never going to happen, so...
Yeah, I mean, you just got to take what you can get. I'm just like, you know, that's why I'm just, you know, calling out hate watchers left and right. I'm just like, it's a 3-hour show. You don't have to watch it live, even.
Yeah, I say join the Almost Live and definitely half-assed crew. Jump in about an hour late. You can catch up if you buzz through the commercials and through any replays, which are numerous during the show, without much of a problem. I even paused it to go and grab some water out of the fridge a couple of times.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, it's... yeah, don't watch it live. Like, that, you're just... I mean, unless you really just want to hate watch, just don't do it live.
Agreed. But I'm still going to do it live because...
I just don't like commercials. I really abhor commercials. So that was my main reason for starting that column. It's because I don't like to watch commercials. Definitely something that brought about some hate on the show was definitely coming from the aforementioned NXT savior, Triple H, with his little showdown with Sting on Sunday here. I actually enjoyed this segment quite a bit, too.
It was very good. I mean, Ric Flair was allowed to be Ric Flair, and I think that Triple H actually was the better of the two in the segment, you know, as he probably should have actually been. I bought into his reasoning for everything, but not to the point where I find him the babyface in the scenario at all either. So, once again, very, very good. You know, good hype to get us to Sunday where... I'm not exactly sure where this is going to go. I imagine with the way the hype has gone that it has to get somewhat physical. And then that's where the question is, you know, is Triple H going to have some help with him? Is he going to... Is it going to be one-on-one? I mean, I've had my thoughts that maybe it won't end up being one-on-one after all in the end. Possibly, if they really don't want to put 57-year-old Sting out there.
Gotcha. I don't know why I immediately thought of Bret Hart versus Vince McMahon is what popped in my head. But even on Sting's best day in TNA, he wasn't nearly that bad. And he was not that good in TNA.
Right, no. I don't ever.
But, I mean, I think that he can, I still think that he can run a passable match with Triple H. So, I feel like it should be a one-on-one match, especially since they went through the, WWE and he's WCW. Like, to me, it just kind of weakens that point if you have other persons involved in this fight.
Right, I agree. Yeah, at this point, yeah, definitely. I think that I'm with you there. It probably will be a one-on-one match that will be very, very, you know, tightly booked. Very, very, you know, just, you know, very simple. You know, as simplified yet fun and exciting as possible at the same time.
Right. And I guess I don't know. It's not going to be that big of a draw to me just because I have seen his TNA run, and I'm not sure how many people really in the WWE audience are going to be that familiar with it other than the parents that watched Nitro back in the days that are taking their kids, or people of our persuasion who have lived through a couple of eras of wrestling at this juncture.
Yeah, I think he's been getting great reactions. I haven't really noticed anything. Okay. A kid walk around in my local McDonald's, a kid walk around in a Sting shirt who couldn't be more than 6 years old. So
his name's still out there is what you're saying.
Yeah, he's still out there. People. But you know what? He's like Batman.
He's like the Crow, except his name is Sting. Batman.
Right. Nope. When he's in a full length leather jacket, his face is painted. You really can't see how old he is.
Oh, right. Yeah, and he wrestles with the singlet, so he covers up whatever problems he has in that department too. Yeah, I guess the only other thing to me major on the show was Bray Wyatt getting three little vignettes to still not really talk about The Undertaker, but talk about The Undertaker. Is that still your assumption? Like, is there someone else that they have up their sleeve if it's not The Undertaker?
I don't... I mean, in the end, he was obviously... you know, pounding nails into the lid of a coffin. So I'm pretty sure it's The Undertaker. I mean, there has not been a single, you know, quote unquote report that's been out there on, you know, people who've seen Undertaker out and about who give it a thumbs up in any way, shape, or give his appearance a thumbs up in any way, shape, or form. And that's, you know, in the last month or two. So it's like, you know, the thing of, you know, should he really be doing this? Is he really doing this? But I don't think there's anyone else. I don't, you know, with the imagery, with the words, I don't think it could be anyone else.
You don't think it's the Boogeyman?
Now that would be something right there.
I would love to see the internet wrestling community explode if it was ended up being the Boogeyman. I don't see how they do someone other than Undertaker at this juncture with the way his promos have been running. And Yeah, I mean, it'll be a fine attraction match to have. It's not going to be a long match. It's definitely going to end Taker's streak of longish matches at WrestleMania.
Yeah, definitely we'll do that. It won't be long. It shouldn't be long. So yeah, no, I mean, it'll be fine as long as, if Undertaker's okay with, now being, a quick, get in, get out, attraction. I mean, I guess good for him, as long as he doesn't hurt himself too badly at all.
Yeah, I mean, they know better than us, and just because Taker's appearances are somewhat sparse, I don't want to read too much into some photos that have that I've definitely seen on the internet.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. We'll see what it looks like when he shows up. I mean,
Yep, when he shows up on Raw next Monday, we'll get. I'll evaluate him then.
yeah. I mean, although I've actually kind of been kicking around in my head, if there's a way to do this where he does not actually appear, walk down the ramp until WrestleMania. Just making his actual one appearance that much more special.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like they have to bust it out once on a Raw.
Right.
So I don't think that's going to be the case. But it is a good idea. So I don't know. Was there any other little filler during the show that stood out to you?
I guess we could talk about Cena and Rusev for a little bit.
Ah, yes, I guess they are kind of a big name ticket there.
Yeah, they knocked off the old man talk, thankfully. That needed to stop. Oh, that was so bad. I did that. What is one of the dumber things I've seen, and I really hope they don't continue with it. Why you would want to downplay and marginalize your top star like that while you still haven't found, that the guy to replace him.
Right. Oh, yeah, that didn't bother me that much, but I like the Lana and Rusev thing continues to not be about the whole I pledged to Vladimir Putin baloney, which is all for the best in my opinion, and more about him just kicking people's asses. Because honestly, I feel like this week was Lana's first promo where she concentrated on that more.
Yeah, I mean, you don't need to go that heavy. I mean, they come to the ring with carrying a Russian flag. There's a Russian flag on the Tron. There's a Russian flag hanging over the ring. There's a Russian flag on his trunks. I mean, you don't need to come right out and say it so
Yeah.
much. It's not even implied, but explicitly stated that, that they are representing Russia here.
Yeah, this point has already been established. Let's move along. And I think it's been a benefit to his character. I was pretty interested that he got his ass handed to him.
Yeah, I mean, I think I, you know what, I think they needed to do that. I think they needed to establish that Cena can kick his ass. But of course, but I know some people are thinking that, they gave away too much. But yeah, I disagree completely. It wasn't, beating up Rusev isn't the final goal. It's beating him in the ring. So, that Cena still needs to accomplish that on Sunday, and I do suspect that, that he likely won't.
Oh, yeah, even Steven booking says that Cena does not win on Sunday. Just because of the ass whooping that he put on Rusev there. So, and I'm sorry. Like, the U.S. title isn't coming back. The Intercontinental title isn't coming back. Unless they consolidate those, I don't see it really making that big of a push as far as importance. So, there's no way you put something like that on Cena. Although it's just going to be weird to see Cena losing to Rusev.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely ways they can do it to build up to a return at WrestleMania, which I don't suspect it will be a clean loss in any way.
Gotcha. Well, the only other amusing point that I found, because I honestly don't have anything more on that, like, because Cena did his paint-by-numbers promo, and it was fine as usual, and then they had the beatdown angle, so, you know, that segment was pretty cut and dry. Dean Ambrose, to me, continues to be a fountain of creativity. It's kind of interesting how he's perceived as a good guy, which I don't completely understand.
It didn't completely work for me. The before signing of the contract, yes. Even in this world, that does have to be considered illegal.
I expected Wade Barrett to just sign the contract to get out of the predicament, and, you know, hey, end segment, and everything's fine, you know, but he's got to force the signature, and I'm just like, oh, that's kind of silly. Again, like, I'm going to make the same point, and it almost feels like a Heath Slater point. They are certainly giving Dean Ambrose plenty of TV time, so they are investing in him, even if it's for the Intercontinental title, which I just trashed.
It's something for him to do. I don't think that they would do they'd do to him like they did to other, you know, Intercontinental champions in the past. I mean, actually, he's been Intercontinental champion in the past while he was still in the Shield, so.
Now, I think he was U.S. champ because they're on SmackDown more.
I'm pretty sure it was Intercontinental.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was Intercontinental, but he rarely defended it.
Yeah.
That's how he avoided doing all those non-title jobs.
Oh, man. Well, I think we have done a good job on this very show. So, at DeFrango11 for yours truly, at Chris Calamedia, and that is now Media, at the tail end there, at Stunt Granny for the general account when we release these shows and our posts, whether they be preview, review, or non-spoiler reviews, or spoiler reviews, or almost live. It's all here.
We got it all for you, including whatever it is that you and Ken do. I'm still not sure exactly what.
it's turned into our high-tech talk about anime. I'm trying to think of what other general topics we have. A lot of pot topics. That always gets some billing in our arena. Yeah, it's just kind of a catch-all. Like, we don't really care. It's just stuff that that interests us, and that's the only reason we do that. It's stuff that we have fun with. So, yeah, that would be OPA. We watch stuff with Jeremy and Shahid. I'm not sure if they're on for this week or not. I think Jeremy did say he talked to him, but he's got a short week. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm recording OPA tomorrow, actually. So, yeah, that'll either be posted Friday and or Monday. Those are those two posting days. And, yeah, hashtag Sippy Time Beer, I guess. I can do that, and I'm out of here. Do you have any last words, Chris?